property investment. It's all about the deals. And that's what we're looking at this week. We're looking at your deals. We're going to be analysing them live on the show and giving you our opinions on your deals. It's going to be fun.
Welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday morning, property investors come together to be informed and inspired. I'm Rob D with Rob B. This is episode number 334. And what a great day this is, because we get to spend half an hour on Rightmove looking at your deals and passing judgment. What's not to like? So we're going to have a great time. Hopefully you will too. And make sure you stick around to the end, because we've got a fantastic tool to share that will help you with your research. Let's get into our news story this week. And Rob, we get to talk about your favourite topic. No, not Boris Johnson. Trains.
Yay!
Yeah, Boris has announced plans for a new railway link between Manchester and Leeds, which is funny because we were in Leeds just the other day, Rob, and complaining about how long it takes to get between those cities. So is he onto something?
He is. It's not an original idea. Transport for the North have had proposals out for a long time. And what Boris has announced is just a snippet of a far bigger plan. And yes, this is absolutely needed and a positive step in the right direction. But the plans that have been proposed are so much bigger. So it is a positive with a tinge of disappointment that he hasn't gone further. It's not just Leeds to Manchester. It's Liverpool to Manchester, Sheffield to Manchester. If you look at Manchester, place where it is geographically, the importance it has now economically, in the north, its airport, all the rest of it, you could create a real powerhouse of an economy, or a northern powerhouse, by connecting Liverpool, Leeds and Sheffield all directly into Manchester, and then allowing you to get out and into those other cities as well. There's been talk of Hull and Newcastle as well, and that would be great. But if they just started by connecting those three cities up with Manchester, it would make a huge difference. But one is better than none, so it's positive, and maybe it's just the first step of many. So let's hold judgment, but at least it's progress. Well, it's an announcement anyway. An announcement is progress, but hopefully they'll get started and then we can truly believe it.
Okay, it's time now to get into listener deals. I love doing these episodes. I actually think this is my favourite type of episode to record, because we get to sit around doing the kind of thing that we like doing anyway, which is going on Rightmove, looking at properties, playing around with some numbers, doing a bit of fantasy portfolio building. And yet, because we're recording it, it counts as work. Fantastic. We've got three deals today, all of which have been sent in by lovely listeners just like you. We've not seen them in advance. We've not formulated any opinions. So we're going to be going through live, doing some real-time analysis, talking about what jumps out at us and what you might want to take into account. And then, as we always do, at the end, we will say which of the three we would personally go for. So, Rob, are you ready to kick off?
I am. Let's do it. So thank you, Tim, for sending us the first deal. He sent us all the info, so it's going to make our lives a lot easier. So where is this property? Well, it's in Worthing. That's West Sussex, near Brighton, for those who aren't familiar with the area. The property itself is a three-bed terrace. First picture, lovely. You know, from the outside, you're looking at it and go, nice, solid property. The roof looks like it's new or newish. It certainly has curb appeal. Then you dig in. The property is slightly dated, but that might suit the area. Tim had commented on the tiles in the kitchen. Oh, I think they're quite funky. They might not be everyone's taste, but they are pretty cool. They're a shade of blue, but a striking blue, with an interesting almost tile picture in the middle of them. That could be a clincher. We'll see if that's going to swing us near the end, Rob. A range cooker as well, very nice. Lounge, typical stuff. There's a conservatory, dated one at the back. But again, think about the target area. Worthing is known for the more mature person. So, you know, these things all may be appealing. Again, small bathroom, but absolutely fine. Looks clean, tidy. And the outdoor area looks like a low-maintenance garden, which, again, is great for rentals. Tim has commented that the rooms are small. There are two double bedrooms, but with the furniture, looks a little bit cramped. And the third bedroom isn't in the picture, but apparently it's more of a study than a third bedroom. So that's what we're looking at. Overall, a solid property with curb appeal. Where do we go from here, Rob? What do you want to look at next?
Let's go to the numbers. Let's not get too swept away by the tiles and the fridge magnets before we have a look at what Tim's going to be paying for this. So this was originally marketed at $325,000. The price was then cut to $300,000, and Tim has had an offer accepted at $285,000. Very nice. So how does the rental stack up against that? Tim reckons that realistically, the rent is likely to be $1,150 per month not looked into that, but let's take Tim's word for it. He notes that that rent against that price would not pass the stress test, wouldn't allow him to borrow the full 75% that he'd want to borrow. Therefore, unless he can get a higher rental valuation than that, he'd need to go for a five-year fix on his mortgage to get around that. Because, as we haven't actually talked about much on the podcast before, five-year fixes are exempt from the mortgage stress tests. So a handy little workaround there. And I would estimate, after plugging in some very quick numbers, that he'd probably end up making a net yield of somewhere around 1.5% and be walking away with about 400 quid in his pocket each month. So Rob, looking at this, it seems to me that he's got a bit of a discount, but not a massive one. The returns are okay, but not amazing. The property is nice, but not outstanding. So the question I'd be asking is, what's Tim trying to achieve here? I don't know the area, so maybe there's some real growth potential here that I'm missing. But it seems to me like it's not a high yielder. In terms of growth, there are parts of the country that are going to do better. So this seems solid, but there's no angle where I'm really getting excited about this.
Yeah, I'm the same, Rob. It's like, yeah, it's okay. Would I invest in it myself? No. But would I feel really worried about someone else investing in it? No. Now, if this is your local area, Tim, and we don't know that, maybe that's your angle. Maybe it's just that it's easy. You can self-manage and you just want an easy life. Well, if that's the case, then the transport links, there's two train stations within a mile. Schools, there's two good schools in the nearby area. The surrounding properties, all nice stock. You know, it's decent. It's fine. It's not way. It's not, oh my word, but it's just, okay, fair enough. If that works for you, then great. But as Rob said, if it is more than that, if it is you are after a yield, if it is that you're after capital growth, or it is that you're after both, you know, you might be greedy, you want it all, then you can do better for sure. And it wouldn't be hard to do to find a better yield or better capital growth prospects. So this really comes down to, are you local? Do you want to stay local? Do you want an easy life, self-manage, whatever it might be? Then fine. But if this is not your local area, then you can certainly do better. So Tim, on that info, you can go ahead and make a decision, and I hope it goes well for you. But listeners, if you don't live in Worthing, then you could probably cross it off your list. It's a lovely place, but there are stronger places for investment.
Let's move on to our second deal then. This one has come in from Sarah, and it's in an area that we're a bit more familiar with. This is Didsbury in Manchester. It's a two-bedroom flat in what looks like a modern block. Looking at the photos, it looks like it's about four or five stories. Internally, kitchen and living room look nice. There's a balcony. Nothing there that's any cause for concern. The original asking price was $215,000. The purchase price that Sarah's agreed is $205,000. She reckons it'll rent for between $900 and £1,000. The service charge is £190 a month. That's something that immediately stands out to come back to. And Sarah's concerned because this is her first flat. She acknowledges that on paper it looks very straightforward, but she's worried because she's never bought a flat before and this is a big development. And she also says that there's been problems with the foundations in the past. There's now been a certificate issued to say that it's been sorted, but she said it looks like it's been very expensive to remedy. Could this come back to bite me? She also comments that it's on a busy road. Is that something to be worried about? And there are council flats in front as well, and she wants to know if that's going to hold the value down. So Rob, the flat itself, very straightforward, not much to say, but lots going on behind it. So where are your thoughts going?
It's really interesting that you've touched on the remedial works and you've said, oh, will that come back to bite me? Well, actually, Sarah, I think it has, because those service charges are high. £190 a month or over £2,200 a year for a very average block with no facilities is high. They've only got to look after the communal areas. There's not a lot to it. So they are now clawing that spend back through the service charges. And that is the potential spanner in the works with this deal, because the area is great. I think capital growth, absolutely, it will happen in this area. Transport links, fantastic. Yes, it's on a main road, but actually, compared to other apartment blocks in the area, you know, it's priced accordingly for that. So I really like the block. I really like the area. You've mentioned that it may need a bit of a refurb for the kitchen. In the photos, it actually looks perfectly acceptable. Maybe you need to put some new units on there, but I think the works would be minimal. So apartment itself, like Rob's already touched on, fine. Area, great. But Rob, it's going to come down to the service charges. Now, if the management company is really nice, they will, of course, reduce those right back down to where they were after all the works have been paid for. But that might not happen.
It might not. And it's also, in the conveyancing process, very important to make sure that any historical charges have been paid. Because if there are any major works bills that have been raised but not yet paid, that liability will sit with you as the new owner, even though they were known about in the past. So very important to get clear on that. I would guess that there's not going to be a major issue around that because I can see that other flats in this block have been transacting. I'd be worried in a development this size if there hadn't been any sales in the last year or so. But there have. Some of them are at a higher level, so around about the 260s. There's one, 312. I guess those are going to be three beds or bigger units. But I can also see sales at around the 203, 205 kind of level. So it looks like you're paying the right kind of price for this one. So it seems like the historical issues aren't going to be much of a concern. It seems like you're paying round about the same kind of price and the flat looks nice. So what is there to worry about? Well, the thing that I'd be concerned about is the cash flow. Is there enough monthly cash in this? It seems tight to me, but Rob, I hope you've been crunching some numbers in the background.
I have. So, looking at this, looking on approximate numbers, I think your mortgage best case is going to be £474 a month. That's not including any costs that are rolled into your mortgage. Your service charges, as we've already discussed, are £190 a month. And then if you have the property managed, 10% plus VAT, that's £108 per month. Now, that management cost, 10% plus VAT, is basing it on a rent of £900. You put £900 to £1,000 as your rental range. But I think this block, the range is £850 to £950. Now, you've mentioned you want to furnish the property, but then I think £900 is probably the number. You might be able to advertise it at £950, but I think you might have to accept that £900 is actually what you achieve in the end. Because with competition in the area, I think that's more realistic. You might do a bit better, but let's work off realistic worst case. So if we take your rent to 900, take off your rental management costs, your block management costs, and your mortgage, that will leave you with a cash flow of £128. That's not including any other costs. It's tight. And this is where the deal might fall down. And it probably would for me. It's not that the cash flow is awful. It's just close. And there are other costs you may want to consider in there that we've not talked about already. I really like the area, Sarah, and I think capital growth will do well. So if this is purely a capital growth play for you, then yeah, okay, this one could work. But if a return is important to you, then obviously it doesn't. It's going to be, again, depend on what your motivation is. A capital growth play, yep. Yield play, no. A mix of both, no. Now, that can be absolutely fine. Some people will be listening to this going, £128 a month, that's not enough. The yield is going to be awful. But if you're in it for the long term and capital growth is your main driver because that's where the wealth in property is made, then that's absolutely fine. It is making a profit. But you need to know what's important to you before making a decision. So our next investment from Ahmed. So let's have a look at this one. Loving this. Okay. This is quite a bit different. Okay, so we've had our beautiful retirement property or family property in Worthing. We've had our City Slicker deal in Didsbury, just outside Manchester. And now we've got one in Birmingham, but this is not one for high flyer city workers, Rob. This is quite a bit different.
We've talked in the past about how it's nice to have the odd property in your portfolio that you can show off, that you can brag about, that you can really be proud of. This is not that property. This is almost like someone's taking stock photos of a probate property. It's got absolutely everything. It's got mobility scooters parked in one of the photos. It's got horrendously patterned carpets that look like they're from the 60s or 70s. All bizarrely, a different horrible swirly pattern in every room. It's got an extremely dated bathroom. And not a lot of curb appeal, it's fair to say. So what's Ahmed planning to do with this? Well, thankfully, not just move a tenant straight in, because if that was his plan, I think he'd be struggling. Thankfully, he's looking to do a refurb, which is just as well, because if ever there was a property that needed a refurb, it's this one. It's a three-bedroom terrace house. The asking price was £130,000. He's managed to grab it for £117,000 because he's able to move quickly, which is great. He then plans to spend £15,000 on it and get it revalued at £160,000. If he pulls that off, That means he's going to be leaving £18,000 of his own cash in the deal after refinancing. The rent he reckons he can get is £750 a month. That would leave him with an ROI, based on his money left in, of 23%, which obviously is fantastic. Ahmed reckons that he's got this opportunity because he can move fast. There's not a lot of buyers around because of Brexit, so the timings work nicely in his favour. And he sees this as a long-term hold. He's going to pull a lot of his money back out and just hold on to it, then enjoy the long-term capital growth that he thinks Birmingham will benefit from. So, Rob, that's Ahmed's plan. What do you reckon?
I reckon it's pretty good. You know what? He obviously quite shocked by the property. You know, I was expecting Dion Dublin to be in one of the pitches from Homes Under the Hammer. he wasn't. But it's a typical Homes Under the Hammer-style property. His numbers are great. And the projected ROI at the end of it of 23% is fantastic. From a return or a yield play, this deal looks brilliant. It just works. I'm sure coming out with £350 per month, which is what he believes he'll get after running all the numbers, and that includes maintenance, insurance, all the rest, again, it is very strong. This property is nearly half the price of the previous property, but almost three times the return. So it shows you that if you're after return, you can do it. But what's interesting for me is Ahmed does talk about capital growth. He talks about capital growth appreciation in the area and says that, you know, he plans to hold it for 20 plus years, which for me is interesting because, yeah, absolutely, if this is a cash flow play, then just crack on. You're looking for capital growth. This is going to be in the bottom 10% of performers in Birmingham. It's just not going to do well. So if this is a dual strategy, that's where it falls down for me. You can't have it all in a deal. It's rare to see deals where you can look at a 20-plus percent ROI and incredible growth prospects. If it's out there, I've not seen it. It's just not going to happen. Maybe right at the beginning of the cycle, but we're halfway through it. So that is my only word of caution for Ahmed is you've got to be clear on what you want. If you are after a bit of both, then you may have to look elsewhere and find a reduced return, but an area with greater growth prospects. If it is just return, then crack on. Because what's interesting for me is that previous deal in Didsbury, although the return here is triple of the property in Didsbury, that could be more than made up in a single year's capital growth in Didsbury. That property could outperform it by many multiples in each year in terms of growth prospects. So it's not that deal number two was poor, it's just a different strategy. It's just a different tactic. And you have to know in yourself what is right for you. And that's why Rob and I talk about so often is what's your end goal? Like by getting very clear on that, that can help you rule deals in and rule deals out. Ultimately, it's just a different strategy.
It is. There's no way that this property is going to suddenly explode in capital growth, but you would expect it to gently grow over the long term in line with everything else. So if you're happy with that and you've got the potential to pull a load of money back out and juice the ROI, then all good. The two key numbers to look out for here are how much the refurb is going to cost and what the end value is going to be. The refurb cost Ahmed's put down as £15,000. He said he's most of the way through the refurb by this point, so I'd be really interested to know whether he does bring it in on budget. He said there's nothing structural, but it is one of those properties where because everything's so old, you could end up running into things like issues with the wiring when you start ripping things away that you weren't expecting. So £15,000 for a property like this seems realistic, but it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up going a bit over because something unforeseen comes up. The other number, the really important one, is how much it'll be worth at the end. Ahmed reckons it's going to be worth £160,000. Importantly, he's done his research here. He's based that on properties with identical layouts within half a mile, which is perfect. That's exactly what you want, because that is what the valuer is going to be looking at. So he's not comparing it to far bigger or nicer properties. He's not comparing it to ones on the other side of town. He's looking at as close to exact comps as you can, which is great. And based on a minute on Rightmove, I agree. I can see properties going at around that level. The only thing to be concerned about really is the reason you think you're getting a good deal is because the market is subdued because of things that are going on politically. That means that surveyors, who are not known for their optimism at the best of times, might be feeling similarly subdued. And when it comes to that revaluation, they might decide to knock it down a bit just because they're feeling pessimistic and they don't want to take any chances. So it's possible that you won't get that 160 valuation and you'll end up having to leave more money in, which will reduce your ROI. But that's not because you've done anything wrong on this deal. That's always a risk. And if that does happen, it's not the end of the world, because at the end of your mortgage fix in 2 or 3 or 5 years, whatever it is, then hopefully the market will be a little bit stronger. It might have even had some growth and you can pull your money out then. So Rob, for me, this stacks up.
It does. So often when we've done these type of episodes in the past, we've picked our favourite. But today I don't have one. And it's not because they're not good deals. They all are, for different people. And that's why it's so important to know what your goals are and know what your strategy is. The first deal we looked at is fine, absolutely fine, if you're a local investor and you live in that area and you just want an easy life. Go ahead. If it's not your strategy, then it's a poor investment. The second investment, if it's a capital growth play, then crack on, go ahead. I think it's a great area with great growth prospects. But if you're looking for a yield or return, it's not going to work. And the third deal is fantastic for a yield play. But if you're after capital growth, there's probably 100 plus better areas to go and look at that will deliver that for you. So all these deals work. Often on the show, we've got deals that we write off and say, no, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. But this deal is great. Go ahead with that one. But for me, while I may not invest in any of them because they don't suit my strategy, I could see why the individuals involved here potentially could. And that's really important. People will often say to you, oh, check out this investment, do it that way. And just because it's good for them doesn't mean it's good for you. And you're only going to have that confidence to turn down deals by knowing what you want and getting very clear on that big picture goal. So it's time for listener success stories. And we get them in all different ways. People get in touch through the social channels, which you can find us at Property Hub UK. That's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're not so active on MySpace, but the main ones were there. Or you can get in touch via the forum at propertyhub.net/forum. Or you can do it via an iTunes review. And Rob, we're always spoiled for choice because they come in different ways, but the iTunes reviews still come in. And this is a really recent one from John. And John said, amazing, amazing, amazing. 5 stars. This is the best podcast out there, and it's free. Excellent podcast for beginners and experts interested in property. Thank you so much, Rob and Rob. I'm buying my 9th property in 3 years, and I couldn't have done it without your wisdom. Well, John, I doubt that. I'm sure you would have found the wisdom elsewhere, but that's just incredible. That's an astonishing rate of progress. 9 properties in 3 years. There won't be many people who work at that rate. Congratulations to you, and well done for taking action.
Well, this episode's been a lot of fun, but we've just got time for a tiny bit more in the form of Hub Extra. This is the part of the show where we give you an extra resource, a tip, a quote, something to think about, something to help you out, and we back it up with a Hub Extra email that will hit your inbox on a Friday morning if you are a Property Hub member. Thank you to David for sending this one, and we love getting your suggestions as well. This is a website called getthedata.com. And this is a site where you enter a postcode and then it pulls together loads of different information about that postcode from lots of different sources. We've featured tools a bit like this before, but this looks like a really good one because it's just got so much. So you'll put in a postcode and it'll give you crime statistics. It'll tell you the nearest bus stops and tube stations. It'll tell you about broadband access and any speed restrictions. It'll even tell you the food hygiene ratings of nearby establishments and a lot more as well. So if you're doing that first pass of research and you're trying to get familiar with a new area, this is such a quick way of seeing everything that's going on. So thank you to David for sending us Get the Data, and you'll find the link in the show notes.
So that's us done for this week. But you know what? We got so many of your deals in when we put a request out that we feel we'd be doing an injustice to you if we didn't look at some more deals, because it's just so valuable looking at these investments because it helps us give you real life examples. So we're going to do more of this next week. So make sure you tune in for that. And we're going to be back with Ask Rob and Rob on Tuesday. So don't miss that either. Until those two splendid events take place, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.